Hey everyone, this is Kat from Millennials in Motion magazine, and this is our seventh episode of Conversations with the Community. And today I have the pleasure of sitting down with Cheryl from Street Dogs. How are you today, Cheryl?
Good, good.
And so tell us a little bit about yourself. What inspired your interest and passion and got you involved in the work you're doing?
So I started working with the state of Nevada, and one of my first offices was the office downtown in the community assistance center. And there was an extra bag of food that was left behind. And my boss gave it to me. She said, take it, you know, whatever. I just thought I was going to take it home. And the next morning when I came in, there was a person there with a little dog. And he was standing in line for food himself. So I asked him if he needed food for the dog. And that's how it started. So he said yes. He was so grateful, so appreciative. I thought, maybe we need to carry this on.
Yeah, she's like, do something like big with it. Mm-hmm. I love it.
And we did.
So that's essentially what inspired you to start Street Dogs.
Yes.
So how
I'd never seen it before. I'd never seen the homeless. And I worked for corporate, worked for a Citigroup. I did not know that there was an issue like there is until I went to work for the state of Nevada and saw that. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Because a lot of people don't associate like the homeless with the homeless animals that live with them and the companionship that gives them.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I did not. I had no clue. Now it's.
Fair. Well, that's been a very awesome experience.
Yeah, well, it is. Well, right. I put it on Facebook and we haven't stopped yet. The community donates, you know, all of the stuff, the food. So the food it started pouring in, literally.
Got that momentum going.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yep, literally. Yep.
So what do you do in your position as the founder of this organization?
So, well, I mean, I've got a great team. I mean, I've got a volunteer team that's fantastic. So basically, I mean, I'm just trying to make sure that we're, you know, seen, we're out in the community, and we're helping. And we running, you know, running the day-to-day activities.
When was the organization founded?
2014, December. After that experience, I thought, let's set up a table outside of, you know, maybe on Main Street, and we'll see if we can distribute some food. And the food started coming in, and we started picking it up from people's homes. They would leave it out for us, donations, and we'd pick it up, and we would see dogs on the street. That's how it started. It was just basically the homeless with their pets on the street. And then we started getting phone calls, you know, from people who lived in homes, trailers, or low income, and they needed food too, but they didn't have transportation. So we started delivering.
So you just built it up from there.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the exact mission of Street Dogs?
So the mission is to ensure that no pet goes without, basically because of the lack of resources on the owner. So if we've got a homeless pet, we want to make sure that they have everything that you would have, your dog would have. In the summer, we want them to have shoes and so their feet don't burn, and spray bottles so, you know, they're cool, and swimming pools if we can, where they can, you know, get in the water and cool off, and strollers, wagons in the winter heat, blankets and coats. And so we've started a new program where during the day, in the summer, if they're homeless outside, they can go into one of our veterinarians or boarding facilities for the day. And so the owner drops them off in the morning, picks them up at night. So they're out of the heat. At night now, we've got some people who live in their cars. So they drop their dog off at night. It spends the night inside, and then because they're older, and they pick it up in the morning.
That's really amazing. Mm-hmm. And that. It's like a lot of those things people don't think about when they have like their dog who's at home, you know, they don't have to
right.
worry. Like people don't take their dogs out during the summer to go walk during the day if they, you know, otherwise know better because, you know, the paws burn
right.
and,
yes.
you know, when they're out at night, like your dog is at home with you, I, you know, at least assume
yes.
in your house with you, but out here they're exposed to the elements just the same
yep.
as the people who are, you know, living on the streets.
They are. My busy dog had given a generous donation of shoes. So we're good with shoes probably through the next year too. But yeah, you don't. I didn't think of, I honestly did not think about it. Now we'll say, just take your shoes off if you can walk on it, then they can walk on it. If you can't, then they can't.
Right.
You know, pick them up or, you know, let us get you some shoes.
You know, like they say, like take the back of your hands mm-hmm. and put it on the sidewalk. And if it burns your hand, it's going to burn their
yes,
feet.
Yes, yes. So, and the, you know, the heat. So the community donates everything to us. I mean, we ask for it and they're there. They get it for us.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It honestly, I mean, it's crazy. It's amazing. So the scarves, we have cooling scarves for them in the summer, which takes their temperature way down. You know, we've had them like in heat stroke. I mean, it's really, really, it's tough on them, really hard. So, yeah.
And then it's really hard for them to get to a vet, let alone, you know, cover the cost of that when that happens. So it's better to just prevent it from happening in the first place.
Exactly. So we will help with, you bring up the vet. We have different vets in the Valley that we work with, VCA, Black Mountain, Dr. Nguyen. You know, he's fantastic. They're great with us, but they got to get their dog there. So it's in Henderson, they've got to get there too. But a lot of them, they can get their dog on the bus now.
Oh, they can?
Yeah.
They let them on the bus now?
It's really up to the driver.
Okay.
It's really up to the driver. If the dog is well behaved or if they're in a crate, you know, if we can get them a crate for they're smaller. We've had some dogs that ride the bus every day. So we've had strollers donated that fit big enough for the dog to fit in, like a pit bull. They have to be inside
right.
and to get it on the bus. So they'll let them then. It's really up to the bus driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any people that essentially like volunteer transportation when possible, like a
yes we do
like Uber,
we do
Lyft.
So managing Uber. So we use Lyft.
Oh,
so
okay.
Lyft is a big part of our, it has become a huge part of our organization now.
That's fantastic.
So mm-hmm. And I mean sometimes they we've had a couple of people say no, you know, some of the areas they got to pick the dogs up, you know, and there's, you know, if there's two, like we had a gentleman and he had two pit bulls and she didn't want to do it. And I'm like, honestly, I'm going to tell you, they're such good dogs. Just, you know, whatever I can do, please. I mean, they've got to, there was a situation, they had to be out of that. They were being evicted. They had to be out. And finally she did. She said, okay. I said, I promise they're not going to do anything to you. You know, the pit bulls have such a bad rap anyway.
Right.
But yeah, so we use Lyft a lot. We don't, we have 30 volunteers. But most work, so it's tough. Like with our spay and neuters, if you have to make it as easy as possible for homeless to get their dogs there. You know, they it has to be, you provide either the transportation or you pick the dog up yourself or a lift to get them there, unless they live around, you know, the area, because there's just so many things that come up that ruin it for them. You know, they can't get there.
That's
so
great. You have this team that puts all their mm-hmm. extra time together to do this amazing thing for the community.
Yeah, there's emergencies, it seems like, every day. There's somebody calling for, they're either in the hospital and they left their pets at home. We've got that. That's actually happening right now. Can you check on them? Can you, you know, feed them? Can you, and they've all been alive when we got there, thank gosh, right? One was iffy. So yeah, so we try to be there. So emergency, like if there's a dog on the, you know, there's a homeless couple on the corner of Sahara, and can you please go and check? And we'll do that, you know, when we can. I mean, it's we don't go right away. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work, a lot of calls.
How have you expanded since you started, and what
oh
is your current like expansion plan from where you want to go?
Oh my, so we started out just with food, a bag of food. So that is literally what we started out with. And then we saw that people, they needed leashes. Leashes are huge. Leashes, collars, right?
So we probably got a rope around their neck at the very
yeah,
or lack
yeah.
thereof.
Or, right. So that was the next thing, leashes and collars, right? And then, so we got food, leashes and collars, and now the spay and neuter, right? So we didn't have money in the beginning for spay and neuter. So we met with Harold of Heaven Can Wait, and man, that was a blessing. He let us use their service at a discounted rate.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, so that we really, I mean, I think we probably were able to spay and neuter 80 dogs that first year at a reduced rate. And you know, the payment, you know, it was like a little payment plan. So that helped. So that was the next step. And then it was the boarding. So they didn't, maybe they might end up in jail or in the hospital. So now their dog's in the Animal Foundation. So Do we get it out and foster it? Do we let it stay there until the, you know, the time is up for them to go and get it if they can? You know, we don't want it to be, hopefully it would be adopted out, but to take the chance of that happening if they can't claim the dog again.
Right.
So, and it's a dog that we know we've been feeding, so we don't want that to happen. So we try to pay the fees to get the dog out and hopefully reunite them with the person. You know, especially pit bulls, it's a big, you know, it's, there's a, you know, they euthanize them. I mean, we know that, right?
Yeah.
So we want to keep them out of there. We'd rather get them out for, to be back with their human.
Right, especially someone who knows that dog, because there's primarily pit bulls and chihuahuas.
Yes.
And not just that specific shelter. When I did the interview with them, with the Animal Foundation recently, they said that that's a national statistic.
Yeah.
Pretty much every single shelter is going to have those two breeds of dogs as their main, you know, breed. And then there's the whole pit bull isn't an actual breed per se. It's more of like a descriptive type, because there's like 20 some odd
right.
breeds of dog that can fall under the description of pit bull, which is basically stocky body, blocky
right.
head.
Right.
So.
And vicious, right? Always. And
yeah.
they're the most social, lovable,
yeah, they rate
human,
very high.
One-on-one. Oh, it's now, not always with other animals, depending
right.
on how they're raised, but
it
you...
It comes down to socialization
it
as
is.
Far as
oh,
that goes,
my gosh.
Really.
It is. It totally, it is. I mean, they're fantastic. I was terrified of them. Terrified. Didn't want one around. I mean, they're my love. They're my heart. I mean, love all dogs, but when I see one of them, I can't even think.
They need you know? All the extra love that they can
oh,
get.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just a, I don't know, my head is filtered for them for some reason. So yeah, we don't, I mean, especially if it's one of our dogs that's in the shelter, we got to get him out. So.
Yeah. You never know how they're going to react in the shelter environment. Because from talking with the Animal Foundation, as long as the dogs are healthy and happy, they're not, you know, succumbing to any illnesses or their mental state and mental health is not declining, they'll stay in there until they get adopted or rescued out or fostered. So, because they're a an open admission shelter, so they have to take
they
everyone,
have to, right.
and they cannot turn
right.
away
an and
animal. And
that's
they work
right.
with a lot of different groups that will come and get these dogs out of the
they
shelter
do.
One way or another. So they do a lot of amazing stuff.
They do. But if you have to select, it's going to be, you know, because there is a selection process, you know, with it there. So the people, I mean, and people are afraid. To adopt them. So, you know, we've had several that we've watched, we'll watch it and then we'll see if we can find a family for it before. And then they've been in there for 2-3 months and it's just not doing good. So, you know, we've actually pulled it up. So yes, no, they do. But I mean, it's just
it's hard.
It's not an instant it's going to be put down. That doesn't mean that they're, because they're a pit bull, they're going to be put down.
Right.
But it's chances of, yeah, if anything
being,
happens.
Being in there too long and
yeah.
having their
yeah.
mental health decline.
Exactly.
To the point.
And they're social. They're very, very social dogs. More than others. They have to have, they really need that people. You know,
yeah.
They need it. Or they are.
And they need a very strong, like, hand to train them and handle them. You know, they're a strong breed.
They are strong. Yes, they are. Yeah, that's true.
They're not for everybody.
No, they're not. So. No. You're right.
What are the biggest issues that are affecting the homeless in Las Vegas who have pets?
So they can't get housing. Housing is hard if you've got a pet. Even veterans. Especially if it's a pit bull. And they're. I mean, there we go again. So
like the insurance policy issue, right?
Yeah. We used, last year, we used heavy weeklies. We used Sterling Gardens. It's on East Fremont. They have three properties. They do not discriminate. So that is the one place I know that I can go. And, as long as your dog is friendly, it's not, if it's causing issues, he's not going to let you stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I know we could go there. That was the one, if they have vacancy. But there's very few places in town that you can go. And the weekly is reasonable. You know, the weekly rate, $250, reasonable, right? And you can have a pit bull. There's not many places. Motel 6 is another place. No, they don't question it. You know, they let you go in there. So housing is one thing. Veterans Village, at one time, they were allowing pit bulls, but now I understand they're not. So if you're a veteran with a pit bull, I don't know where you're going to go, you know, because you're not going to leave your dog. You're not leaving it behind.
Right.
And the weeklies are too much. I mean, you can't afford the $250 a week when you're, you know, getting $600 or $700 a month, you know, if that, right? So yeah, housing is tough. They take care. I mean, you hear it all over. You know, they'll feed their dog before themselves. But that's all true. All of that is absolutely true. I mean, they. If I could show you some of the letters, the texts that they'll send back after we've helped them with whatever, with medical, with just with food, or they're very, very grateful. I mean, they're.
I bet.
Yeah.
It must be life changing.
Oh yeah. This weekend we had Mike and Lucky. I don't know if you've heard of him or seen, but he carries her on his back.
Oh.
It has. That's it. That's just the way it is, right? It's not a show. It's not for. She's got her legs are, she's got a deformity type of her front legs, and she's getting older. So he carries her. I mean, that's what he does. So we've tried everything. We've tried wagons, and people are always saying, get her a wagon. We've done everything. And there isn't anything we haven't tried with him. It doesn't work. Pulling it is too much. You can't pull. Pushing is better if you're homeless because you can push better than you can pull. But then you can't keep all your stuff like in a shopping cart and her and get on the bus, and it's just so he carries her. We've tried to, we were the can't think of the company donated a backpack.
Oh, okay.
And four dogs, but she's 70 plus pounds, and it was big enough. I mean, it was big, but she wasn't. She was top heavy, so if he fell, she was gonna. It didn't work. So he's got her back on his back, and he everywhere, and she. She wouldn't, I mean, you couldn't take her in. I mean, you really couldn't. When he goes, she pretty much has to go. He is her main focus. He is her, that's the reason why she's around. You know, she doesn't let him out of her sight. It is
like
really something. It's like
basically.
A mom and a wife, you know, a mom / wife. She loves him. And they live in the tunnels. They live, you know, in the parks, and sometimes they're on in a, you know, they're in an apartment, but it doesn't matter. So that will just prove that
it doesn't,
you can't take that dog away from him. And if you did, you would not have a happy, you're not going to have a happy dog. It wouldn't work. It won't work. If something happens to him, they have quite a bond, a super bond. And, you know, they think that you can, some people have said, well, just buy him. Okay, I've never, ever met one person, thousands of dogs I've seen in 5 years. Nobody would ever take money. I don't care what I offered them. There's no amount.
Like, how much do you want for your child?
Yeah, they wouldn't. If they did take it, then it's not their dog. They found it.
Right.
And they're just taking the money. So you can't offer somebody, you know.
You can't buy companionship like
right.
that.
It's just kind of naive, I guess, to think that.
Yeah. I don't know why anyone would think that someone's just going to sell, like, basically.
But then what are you going to do with the dog? Right? So you're going to buy all the dogs that are on the street, or what are you going to do with them once you get them? They're going to go, where are you going to take them to shelter? And then who's, you know, what's going to happen? They are being cared for now.
I remember a while.
Let's make it comfortable.
I remember a while back. I don't think it was. No, wait, maybe it was. I think I actually did see it on the news, like out here, like somewhere down in Fremont Street. And this lady was just upset that this homeless person, this homeless man, had a dog. And like the dog was fine. It was summer, but he was making sure the dog is shaded, the dog has water, the dog is okay. Mm-hmm. And she tried to take his dog because she was just like, you shouldn't have this animal. It's like you don't get to take his animal.
No, you don't.
Just because you
don't get to
think
say.
That, yeah, that's it. Doesn't
right.
matter if he's homeless. That is his animal.
That's right.
The dog was not in any clear sign of abuse or neglect
right.
or malnourishment or anything.
The dog doesn't want to go anywhere.
Some lady who I assume whose heart was otherwise in the right place, but very misguided
right.
on her
right.
thing. So instead of approaching this man and asking
right.
how can I help you,
yes.
she's going to just take this dog from him, and he's crying.
Right.
Because
right.
it's like someone just came up and just like, you don't get to have this kid, and just takes
no, you're a, you're absolutely right. That is absolutely, and we've seen and heard of that. Yes,
wow.
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there are some cases. There are some cases where, I mean, it's, you know, even that we see in our clients, and we just. We are creative. We really, really try to come up with, some way, you know, if we can't, because we can't keep you in a weekly forever, you know, and you're only in the weekly because of the dog anyway, you know, but so we can't do that, but we are going to try to figure out something, you know, some way of getting you insight either on your own with your own or somehow we're going to work on that, you know, because it is tough. Like, you know, the black dogs in the summer. I mean, it's tough. It is. And it's hard to see. And you love them. And they come up to you and they see you and they jump in your car. And, you know, and it's hard to, you know, they're in their air conditioning. And it's tough. But it's his or hers. And, you know, we have kittens. We have a kitten on the street, you know, and she's got a harness on it and, you know, leash and it runs around and you do think, oh, you know, but maybe that cat wouldn't be alive because she found it, you know, it wouldn't be alive if not. And it's getting used to that's its environment. So, and it's loved, super loved. Yeah. I mean, they're loved.
As long as it's happy and healthy, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
That's all that really should matter.
Yep.
So all that being said, what are some of the most difficult situations your organization has been able to address or help with these people and their animals?
What we were doing for a while is if they showed that they wanted to work, go to school, whatever, we were trying to help. So we put them up in a weekly, and the success rate there is not as high as I'd like it to be, but it, you know, it does, you know, it, even if it's getting them their ID again, which is a huge issue with the homeless. Every, you know, at first I'm like, why, how come everything is stolen? I mean, every time I talk to you, it's the tent is stolen. The ID is the phone, but it's true. They fall asleep and somebody goes through their, you know, like they're good at it. They go through their pants pockets or whatever.
Without waking them up or anything.
Oh yeah. And it's gone, you know, it's gone. So, and, I'm a welfare caseworker in the Clark County Detention Center, right? So I hear the same stories. It's not just them. It's the same thing. They don't have identification. You know, if they're homeless, it's stolen. You know, it's constant with them, with that population of their stuff being stolen. So just getting them off the street for a couple of days, one, to get them out of the elements, and if they can get their ID and get going, because then they can, you know, try to, you know, do something else. But we have had a successful, he contacted us. He had two dogs, bad situation. His wife passed and he just went downhill. So we, after talking to him, put him up, started in a motel, and I could see right away he was going to do something. He needed bus passes, you know, he needed shoes, certain things. He went out within 2 weeks. So we moved him from a motel to a weekly. Within 2 weeks, he had a job. And now
fantastic.
he definitely could have done something more than what he did. I mean, but he got it right away. He got a job, right?
He's
so
very serious with
right
the opportunity.
Yeah, it's a convenience store. So I mean, and he's a little bit older than me. So he definitely was. He was. So we love that. So we got him the you know, monthly pass, his the card, his work cards, his health cards, shoes. Everything he needed, plus we were paying his rent, right, to make sure that he got there. And then we were able to move him to one of our, or he was able to get in. He saved his money. And I mean, he is on the bus, you know, so his dogs are in the weekly, and he's on the bus, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, working 2 hour, you know, 2 hour transportation, you know, a day. And then he was able to get into one of the trailers where we feed. So, I mean, he'll get out of there too, you know, and then a car was donated to him. So yeah, I'm like, God, this is fantastic. And he had started, you know, he'd just lost everything. So we've had a couple like that.
I love that. Cause one of the things I try to focus on through my organization is essentially like the phrase, hand ups, not hand outs.
Right. Right.
Cause you know, you can go around and just hand things out to people, but giving somebody, like pulling them up just a little bit out of their situation,
yep,
to give them the opportunity to, you know, actually change something in their lives.
Yes.
You know, that's what really, like, really helps. Or like, you know, learning about how when you look at like things statistically, the best way to help the homeless is to get them housing. You
right.
know, because you can, you know, give them a meal and a bed to sleep at night, but that's not going to help the situation, because a lot of times these people, because they're homeless, they don't have an address, which means it's really hard
right.
for them to apply for a job. They might not have access to all these places.
Showers.
For the most part. That too.
Yeah.
But it's also like a lot of the places that you apply to is that go online.
Right.
So if you, one, don't have an email address, don't have access to the internet, let alone right. have some place where you can store a file for your resume and everything else that right. you know, entails. That's a big barrier for people to get out of their situation if they do. Like, I hate when I get into conversations with people about the homeless and they're just like, oh, they're just a bunch of drug addicts who are mentally ill and they don't wanna leave their situation. They just wanna, you know, live tax free and get, you know, handouts. And I don't see that.
No.
I see a lot of people who have fallen under hard times and they just need a little help. I believe that most people inherently want to get out of that situation and don't want to be stuck living like that for an extended period of time. No, I would imagine no one would want to.
No.
You know, there's a few people who are like, I like to be a nomadic person. And that's I think an outlier of the whole entire like homeless population.
Right. So there are those, right? So our dog here on the wall, I'll show you when so travelers, that's what, you know, we run across them, right? You know, they're moving, they're on the go. Yeah, so they're stopping and going. No, I can't imagine staying in, and there's a lot of mental illness. I mean, there are a lot of drugs. There's a lot of drugs and there's a lot of mental illness on the street. So they need help and you can't, you know, they need help. So I don't know how, you know, we would go about,
It's a really intricate issue mm-hmm. that there's no one-size-fits-all solution.
Mm-mm,
you know,
no.
We need a lot more community effort to help these people
yeah.
and acknowledge the issues that are causing homelessness, whether it's, you know, lack of housing or the cost of housing or lack mm-hmm. of
evictions. Right. So, yeah.
Like not being able to get health care, not being able to get mental health care, and then, you know, succumbing to substance abuse and everything. That
yes,
there's so many things.
There is. Yep.
So what are some success stories of the organization's impact on any particular cases or with homeless people?
Just for us too, it's helping them. So they've got a dog that's been run over. So, you know, what are they going to do? They have no, I mean, it's, especially with emergencies, and we work with Pets of the Homeless, a national group.
Okay.
So they, you know, they help with medical emergency funding. So we can partner with them and put them up if the dog is or the cat is, you know, in bad shape. But as far as we see it every day just by feeding them, and you know, taking care of them basically.
Yeah. Mental health is a huge topic, which we've briefly touched on so far. And in general, it's not being discussed enough or properly, let alone in regard to, you know, the homeless population and what they're going through. Do you have any comments or experience in regard to that topic relating with the work you do specifically and how these companion animals help their mental health?
That's a given. It is therapy. It is. I mean, I wouldn't give dogs to somebody that was on the street. I wouldn't give a pet to them, you know, if they have one. I mean, that's why they're reaching out for help.
Do you think a homeless person with an animal companion has a higher likelihood of getting themselves out of homelessness at a different rate than those who don't have an animal?
Yes, they would, but no, they don't, because they can't get housing if you've got a dog, unless it's a small dog, you know. So yes, absolutely. I mean, you mean like, will they go to work to get their, to keep, okay, that's a very interesting thing. So it's hard to get housing with a pet, period, right? But what I will say is, and this is, I don't even know how this is going to sound, but women, homeless women, try harder or will live anywhere, you know, if they have an income of any kind, like social disability and disability, whatever, they will live anywhere to keep their pets in. Men, not so much.
Like they're more picky about it?
They're just not spending their money. The keeping the animal inside is not the priority from what we've seen. So from what I've seen, and I don't know if that could be, mother, maternal women. I don't know, but it's not, so if you get $700 a month, right? And you can find a place for $500, right? I would think that you want to get your animals, because that they do. I mean, that's it. You want to get your animals off. You want to get your kids off the street. So you're gonna go there and you're gonna live off $200 somehow. You know, women will do that. Men not as much as, I guess that's all we'll say, is they're not as likely to do that.
Oh, that's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have even thought of that relationship.
I know.
Between...
But that's my experience. I mean, I could, you know, that's.
But I mean, like having that understanding of the differentiating between men and women, that can help address those particular issues and
actual
focus on that.
Yes.
Do you and your team have to take any precautions to manage your own mental health, particularly dealing with compassion fatigue?
Oh, yeah. So myself, I started meditating.
Oh, that's
so
that's a very
that
good...
was fantastic in the beginning. And then I have just, I've never been so busy in my entire life. I've never been this overwhelmed. And yeah, with the people and, you know, there's, people that need, you know, and they need, I mean, I know that, I get it, you know, and if we answer the phone, then that we're going to, you know, my cat, my dog, my guinea pig. And then on the other hand, when you help them and they don't appreciate that you help them, it's like, so that was hard to get to used to, like, look, it's not about them. It's about helping
animals.
That animal. And as much as I want to argue with them or whatever, it's about you need food for your guinea pig. I'm going to find you food for your guinea pig or cat or dog, whatever, you know. So that was tough. I mean, it really is. It's a weird thing, you know, to give and then people not appreciate sometimes, you know.
Right.
Like it's just give me it, you know.
But I mean, I assume you also get the other end of that spectrum where people are profoundly thankful. So
it overdoes. One person.
It reminds you, this is why I'm doing this.
Yeah, it's one person, one letter, one thank you. That's it. When we know that, you know, that's it. And our team they get a lot. They get a lot of compliments from, I mean, the people. It's almost like we're almost like a little social services group, you know, because they get to know the people.
Right.
And they
form these relationships. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
They, you know,
huge, big relationships. Yes. Yeah. We have a lot of stories. Yeah. We have a lot of stories with the animals and the people. And we've lost a few this year. That was really hard, but, that's great. So, but to get used to that, you know, when you're not, I've not been in this world for 5 years, that this is it. So, you know, it's to get used to the people needing so much need, an emergency need, you know, right now, help me. Okay, well, hold on. I've got to think about, do we even have money? You know, do we have how do I prioritize now who I'm going
to
help?
Like you can't spread yourself too thin
because
then you won't be able to continue doing what you're doing.
Yeah, well, you can't. You go, it's tough. It is really tough. And we don't, some take vacations, not vacations, but time away. You know, like you've got to try to get some time away.
Absolutely.
Working on that. But that I know is the key. You have to do for yourself.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're getting better about it.
You're not going to have anything left of you to give.
Right, exactly.
So
yeah.
It's just like whenever, you know, I've had discussions with people on, like, you know, mental health and everything, self-care is important because if, you know, you're not taking care of yourself, how can you, you know, take care of anything else
right.
in your life, whether it's, you know, anything you're passionate about, work, school, your family, anything.
Right.
You know.
Right, exactly. And then we've got all that, too. Like, everybody's got families and, you know, personal lives but everything, it seems a lot of our stuff is emergencies because people, you know, the dogs don't have food. You know, and that's what we're here for. So your dog, your cat, whatever, doesn't have food. How long has it been since they ate? You know, can it go another day? We can't get to you till next week. Can we send you to this person? Or, you know, it's always thinking. We've always got to try to figure out, you know, how are we going to work this out for these people, for this dog?
Right.
Or cat.
And like continually finding ways to like grow and everything.
Yeah.
That being said, what has the organization's growth been like over the years since its founding?
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. So from one bag of food to now we've got a clubhouse.
And
so
you just gave me a tour of this place.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Thank you. That's... Yeah. And we need something bigger, you know, just to store we're looking at the clothes and the
food. You're almost
food.
To the ceiling in boxes of donations.
Vitacost food that we can help other rescues or other, homeless groups with, there's several that we have churches, you know, and we distribute. So this food goes back to our and it is a lot of work. So we've got, I think I told you, we've got Darla and Irene, they're here, they're managing this and getting things ready for our delivery team as they come in and take out. And it's a lot of work.
I love how organized everything is.
It is. It's falling. Guys, it really is falling into place beautifully.
You guys do such a fantastic job.
Thank you. I've enjoyed you
explaining how everything has worked and all these amazing people on your team and their willingness to do this with you. I love it.
Yep.
What are the present goals and the current outlook of the organization?
So, I mean, it would be great. I would love to be retired. Okay. So I could be, cause I'm gone. So I'm not here 10 hour, you know, I am only here either in the evening if I have to meet somebody here or on the weekends.
I work a full-time job. Uh-huh. And this is like your second job.
Right. And where I work, I can't have a cell phone, mm-hmm. and I have no access to social media. So I can't even try to help myself, like help the, you know, I can't, there's no work that can be done during the day. So that's 10 hours lost of wow. what we, you know, because everything we do is emergency, you know, right. it's so that nobody can get a hold of me that way. So I would love to be retired. So retirement's not going to happen. If we could have a couple of paid positions, that would be fantastic. You hate to put all the demand on a volunteer, like an admin. If we had a paid admin, it would be great. So that's so we've got somebody that's helping us with grant writing, and we're hoping that we can get that, you know. A truck so we can get, you know, so the end goal though is something like, it's similar. I saw Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento and I think they're all over, but, it's not the feeding of the people. It's the part that they have is they have like an animal. It's not a shelter, but it's a place where it's hooked to their rescue. They're like it would be like hooked to the St. Vincent's here. And then on another piece of property, they have a shelter. So I would love to have a place where the homeless could leave their pets during the day and they could go look for jobs or, you know, try to get themselves together.
So like an actual facility where people can
leave either come and go. Or, you know, daily pick up, take, you know, nights and days, kind of like what we're doing now because we're paying for it. And then or like there's the biggest need. I mean, this is all needed, too. But right now, I wish that somebody would start up a boarding for people going into the hospital. They want to go to rehab. I mean, people will not go to rehab because they won't give their dog up. And they're not giving the dog up.
Right.
So they're not going to go. So we've tried. We have watched a couple of dogs. We boarded some dogs for people. And that's been a success. We've had several successes like that. So that's what we'd like. We would be able to keep them for the people. Because we don't want to keep anybody's dog. We want them to go right back, you know, to them.
But give them a resource that would allow them to do the things they need to do without worrying about where's my dog, is my dog safe, you know, is someone going to take my dog?
Yeah. Yep.
So
that's the goal. That's the big goal.
I can imagine it now. Mm-hmm. It's big and it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yes, we would love that.
I can't wait to see that when it happens.
Yeah, thank you.
So I guess that answered the question on what's your next step for the organization.
And it's hard, you know, with volunteers, because you can't go too fast. I mean, there are certain opportunities I've missed out on because I'm not available. You know, I can only use so many vacation days in a year, or, you know, I can't. And there's just certain things that they have to talk to me about. That's just, you know, outside. So that's tough.
The fact that you essentially donate all your extra time and energy into this is just absolutely amazing.
My granddaughters don't like it, but they're like, can we talk about anything else? I mean, they like it, but it's all that's in your head. You're like, you know, you just spit it out. And they're great, but I mean, it's funny because we're like, oh. And then I thought, it's probably like the cell phone thing, you know, with putting it down. Like, I'm telling them to put it down. They're telling me, stop talking about it.
So they just, I think, was it yesterday, actually, they held the vote for essentially criminalizing homelessness out here in the Las Vegas Valley, mm-hmm. or at least criminalize public sleeping or public mm-hmm. resting, yeah. I think they're trying to word it as. So that being said, what are the potential implications of that ordinance now being passed? What is, how is it going to affect what you do and affect the lives of the homeless community mm-hmm. out here?
So yesterday, I thought, I heard an interview with, I think, John Smith. And after, you know, listening to, it was on NPR, and I'm like, oh, that's going to pass. It is going to pass.
And it passed 5-2.
Yeah, yeah. So, so for the dogs and the cats, we're going to see an increase in them going to the shelter, right? So there's the, there's a cost of getting them out. So that there's fees. So let's just say if they're not fixed, that's a great way to get them fixed, though. So I do like that part. But it's, so let's just say anywhere from between $100 to $200 to get it out, the pet for the owner. So that'll happen. The phone calls here on our end, just from the pet perspective. So, the officers in certain areas, you know, we do a lot of community events with the Bolden Command and with, downtown, and Convention Center and, East. So if they pull, if they arrest or they pull, or if they're going to arrest somebody who has a dog, a lot of times they'll try to, they'll call us first and see what we can do. It just depends. I mean, because the phone is not answered. It goes, you know, we don't have, we can't man it like that. So if we get the call and there is somebody that is available that can go and get the dog, we'll do it. But for the most part, we can't. It's just not, we just don't have it. So they will send the dog to the animal control, come and get the dog or the cat. And then they'll call, leave a message or let us know that the dog is there with the animal number, the A number. And then we'll watch it. I'll let them know that, you know, this is one of our clients or, you know, we're watching it. Don't let it go. You know, on the 10th day, if the owner hasn't come to claim it, then we'll claim it. So that's going to, that happens already, you know, once a week. Now it's going to go even higher.
So it's going to essentially raise your cost of
yeah, our cost everything. Of managing, right, plus the stress of getting there. So we're already, you know, the delivery people are already taxed. You know, there's only four of them and they're doing the whole city. And there's really only two that can manage every day. There's, you know, the other ones are weekends or, so that's delivery's tough. I mean, it's tough. It's the one thing that we need the most, but it's tough to do. So,
it's going to make your job that's already hard a lot.
Yeah. Harder. And just managing now dogs in the shelter, you know, that are in there, and when they're getting, you know, it's going to be a calendar of, okay, this, you know, John's getting out on the 4th, you know, Joey's getting out on the 6th, and Darlene's getting out on the 3rd, you know what I mean? So managing when to pick them up, when we do with them, we get them, if the owners haven't come yet. So, I mean, that's just, it's a lot of that's a whole, because we can't keep, we don't have fosters, we don't have a foster program, because the hard thing about the fostering is people don't want to give a dog back to a homeless person. So that's tough, right?
You'd have to find like a dedicated group of people who understand what they're getting into and are agreeing to the
and
circumstances.
Just fostering is tough, just to get a foster. Right. So now we're going to add to it, you're going to give that dog back. Okay, that's tough. And they're pit bulls. So most people can't take in, they already either have enough dogs or, you know, maybe there's dogs, you know, it's got to be they've got a one home, you know, so pit bulls are almost, they're almost out, and that's our dog, right? So those are, I mean, they're hard. They're very hard to find fosters for. So we have to board them, and boarding might as well, you know, it's the same as a shelter, you know, because they don't get walked and, you know, we can't pay for like a daycare and like $30 or $40 a day. We can't pay for that kind of boarding. So
right. It's going to be hard. Like a kennel in your back area or something like that, where they could at least be housed in an enclosed space.
Oh, here? Yeah, no, we can't do anything like that here. We can't have any animals here.
Oh.
Yeah, no, we can't have any animals yet at all. So,
So it really just comes down to getting to that goal of yours to have your own operating facility, basically.
But in the meantime, we still got to get our dog out.
Right.
We got to figure out what to do with it.
Right.
So that's going to happen. So
you'd really double down on your efforts.
Yeah.
Have you, reached out to any like local news stations or the Review Journal to get your organization out there more so people can hear about you and help out more?
Maybe so we have know. Been, you know, we've been, I think this summer, I mean, we don't reach out. They seem to reach out to us.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
see it on.
Awesome.
So I think we've had three or four this summer on shoes. One of the people we put up in a motel, there was the story with him and his dogs. So yeah, we've had that, definitely. And we've had several, newspaper, or magazine, like Seven and, several other, groups write up about us.
What's that one local magazine? Pet Weekly?
Yeah. Pet something? Weekly, Las Vegas, pet scene or yeah. Yeah. Weekly. Yeah. We've been in there.
Well, that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. At the very least, like, you guys have a presence and people know about it.
I think so. Yeah, I think for sure. We had a dog that a homeless dog, and he we had a homeless dog, Herbie, that was taken from his 89-year-old owner. So he was homeless. He's homeless on and off, and he's an actor from the 30s here, and he's a gambler. So and he's always got his fedora and he looks totally clean. He doesn't look like he's a character. So he lost his dog. We first met him at Sunrise Hospital. He was in Sunrise Hospital, had Herbie, and they called us to come and, you know, help with Herbie. So that's how we met him. And then he fell asleep on Las Vegas Boulevard and somebody stole the dog. Or the dog got away. So he was gone for a year and a half. Oh, and Facebook, I mean, we had it all over. Everybody knew about Herbie. Everybody's looking for Herbie. We get all kinds of pictures. Well, so the crazy thing about social media, too, is it's a bubble, right? So it's hard to get out of the bubble right. to your family, you know, maybe because they're not in rescue. So they don't see. I think everybody knows what's going on. And my sister doesn't know what's going on because she's not in the rescue world. So it's hard to get outside
like
of.
Pop that bubble.
Yeah. So that's tough. So I thought everybody knew about Herbie, right? Because it was everywhere. The news, several stories on him, like two, I think. So he's gone for a year and a half. And we get a call that he was taken into a PetSmart for nail trims, and they did a scan, and it came up. So but the people left, so we couldn't. So we knew that he was alive. It was 18 months later, something like that. We knew he was alive, and you know, so Danny had moved to LA. And I mean, this whole time he was out, he was trying to find, we had stuff up everywhere looking for them right in that area. So he comes back and, we don't know, we know that he's here. We don't know where, can't find him. So he went to the police, right? And he filed a report and he went back to LA, and the detectives and the group of volunteers actually found the dog.
Wow.
Found the dog, yes. So there, it's a whole reunion on Channel 8 News.
Oh.
So they found Herbie. So we did reunited him, and he went back to L.A. So he's back down in L.A. again, and he's lost him again.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Somebody stole him. So so that's tough. So yeah, I don't know how I got started on that story.
It's just a constant struggle every
day
with it.
So it's tough. Yeah.
You've mentioned a couple organizations and others that you work with. Are there any other organizations, businesses, or anybody else that you'd like to mention that you guys like work with to do all this stuff that you do?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So in the beginning, all of the rescues they are great. Like, you know, they get food for their, because they've got fosters and they have food. So they always share with us, shared the, you know, all of them, Hearts Alive Village, fantastic to us. I mean, great. A Home for Spot. I mean, very, very good to us as far as giving us and you know, sheets, towels, On My Way Home. I mean, they're great to us. Vitacost now is helping us with this food, is giving us all of this food. My Busy Dog is giving us shoes. Hookers and Knitters is giving us water. And you see the water. The Boyd Gaming Group, Cannery, gives us water.
Oh, wow.
So things to, you know, a constant supply. It's not just, you know, always. Ameriprise, their employees, and the MGM, MGM Grand, their employees are in a monthly, you know, donation, volunteer match. we work with the rescue group, Las Vegas Rescue Mission, a lot of the Clark County Social Services for housing and dog food, and the community counseling. A lot. I can't think of any other. We're trying to provide help with these names are just escaping me here. They go into the tunnels and feed the people, but we try to give them food for the dogs and the people. And I can't, the ministries, Holy Smoke. Holy Smoke is the name of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we try to help whoever we can too. If we can help them, you know.
So you have a really, really strong network with
them. I think so. Yeah, I think so.
That's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be really hard if you didn't have that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, I think so.
That's shown how the community comes together.
It's crazy. I mean, it is, I can put something out and say, you know, a story or what we need, and people are so generous. I mean, it is, they're very generous. They're very, very good. Very good. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
That gives me a lot of pride for the Las Vegas community, because, you know, especially like when you talk to people who come from outside of Vegas, they just assume that you're just a party city, the strip, gambling, all whatever sort of preconceived notions they have, like they forget that we are a community out here.
Exactly.
And I think that the people who live out here also kind of forget that we're a community. They don't realize what's around all of us and how we can all get involved and help each other. I think, you know, like you were talking about, you know, everything being in a bubble, everyone stays within their bubble until they start, like, you know, starting to pop it, essentially.
Yes. We had a young girl, so she, their dog is Tyson, so everybody knows them by Tyson. So Brianne is 20, Brianne and Jacob, one's 25, one's 27-ish. So she has cancer. Right on the street, in a tent.
Oh my god!
So when we first ran across her, we were feeding her dog. The dog they got from Craigslist. Somebody just dropped it off. Somebody had it on Craigslist. They answered the ad and they dropped the dog off. This awesome dog to a homeless couple living in a tent in the wash off of Flamingo. So these two have taken this dog in, and it's like their child. I mean, they are fantastic with the dog. I mean, they're, you know, fantastic. So she can't get her chemo. The doctor's not treating her if she's going to, you know, she's living in the dirt. So I posted it. So as soon as I posted it, I mean, oh my gosh, the letters that she got, the you know, encouragement, telling her this is what you're going to see. And people are like, I can't imagine. I had cancer myself, you know, breast cancer, whatever kind of cancer. I can't imagine living on the street, you know. So we were able to get them into a place. And they were into a place almost 6 months. They were in a weekly, right, with us. And she was able to get a treatment. They're back on the street again because we can't, you know, he was in and out of work. He would try Postmates, no car though, you know. He walked dogs. He did get a job, what their education is, what they know. So he was able to do something on the stripper. I think it was like passing out stuff. So, you know, that kind of job. So he was helping, you know, when he would make money, he would pay. And then we would, you know, help him with, it was a community helping. I mean, anytime. And when we finally had to put them, say they got to go, the community came on strong again and another $3,000 was donated. So that kept them in for another 2 or 3 months. And then, you know, it was time that they, you know, for them to go. But it's great. It's fantastic. The dogs in the heat. We had a dog that the vets, we have a pop-up. We work with the Project Homeless Connect, mm-hmm. and we have a pop-up on the third Tuesday of the month, right?
That's going to bring me to the next question.
Yeah.
About if you guys do any events.
Oh, we have events every weekend. So we have distributions every weekend, sometimes twice a week. We do the Project Homeless Connect on the third Tuesday of the month, and we move around. So they have outreach, people from the community, every kind of Medicaid, medical, Social Security, Help Us Southern Nevada. Everybody is there. It's a great thing, and it's a pops up. So it's kind of all over. So we have a vet, Street Dog Coalition, different from Street Dogs, out of Colorado.
Oh,
so
wow.
They supply the vets and all the medication, the vaccinations. They do it. Dr. Martinez, Kate Martinez, they do a exam, do vaccinations, do microchipping, and they can give little, you know, ear infection medications, antibiotics, you know, stuff that they can treat right then and there. So that's once a month.
That's amazing.
So we try to get everybody to come to that. So it was the middle of the summer, and we're outside, you know, and dogs, I'm not kidding you, were falling over. It was so hot. So they were doing an IV on one because it was an older dog.
Oh,
because
gosh.
We have to see your dog. We can't just give you dog food or right. cat food. We do have to see it, unless we know you. You know, if we know you, then we know. So that day was just, you know, it was horrible. I mean, it was bad. The dogs were just, oh, it was so hot. So I posted that right away. There was a committee formed. You know, that's when the scarves happened. That's when the swimming pools, you know, to get them cooled off. They were like, we'll drive up and down the Boulder Highway and make sure that, you know, whoever we see. So that was like, that was a great post because
wow.
people really, I mean, they took it on. I'm like, yeah, go, you know, get, create your own little groups and do it. Yes, exactly.
Wow.
So we don't do it in the summer now because it's just too hot for the dogs, but
yeah.
It's every other month but that.
If I can go slightly off topic, I learned that one, Las Vegas is it's the fastest warming
yes.
city in the country. And this summer we broke the record for days over 105 degrees. So we're getting hotter, and we're staying hotter longer also. So that's...
That's seeing that's so bad. The cold, we can, you know, you can get warm. You can, you know, you can bundle.
Yeah, you can,
put
more jackets and
yeah.
blankets. But
right.
in the summer, it's...
I just saw the silver blankets I was going to show you. And we have some fantastic donors. Like, they don't want to ever, you know, they don't say... We have a woman that she don't... There's the silver blankets.
Oh, okay.
So they're little emergency ones. And she donates a lamb chop. They're stuffed animals. Lambs and the dogs love them. I mean, it's like the happiness is, and the people are so happy that their dogs are happy.
I love it.
That's
it's
what's
just
awesome.
Warming my
yeah.
heart just thinking about
when you
it.
Give their dog a toy like that,
they probably don't get toys very
oh, no,
often.
No, because they're gonna shred them. But when you see the people, that's like the toys are like the best thing. And, you know, if you've got enough of them, it's great. And she makes sure that we have enough.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you mentioned the donations. What kinds of specific donations do you need? I know you said they change throughout the year depending
yes,
on if it's summer
season,
and winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what are the kind of donations that you need consistently?
Okay, so we always need money, of course, because we need, or, I mean, even if you don't want to give money, you can give, you can pay our bill, pay our medical, you know, not pay our medical, but put money towards like the spay and neuter. You
okay.
know, we can have a credit on our, you know, on our accounts. We would love that. And our main ones are Heaven Can Wait, Spay and Neuter Center, and VCA Black Mountain. So
you just contact those and say, hey, I would like to put this
a donation,
amount of money.
Yeah. You can do that.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Absolutely. And that helps with the medical. That's
right.
that's our biggest cost.
Okay.
You know, and boarding. And so people, when we do these little posts, and they'll help us with the boarding too. Cat food is huge.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sick of crying for cat. I mean, we can't, we'll never have enough cat food. We have enough dog food. I mean, get enough with 6,000 to 7,000 pounds a month of dry.
Wow.
Right. So, I mean, I don't know how much more we would go through ourselves that we could even deliver, but cat food, we get about 1,500 to 2,000 pounds a month and it is gone. It is, we can't even give out to the people that are calling. Especially the colonies, you know, these people, the cat people are different than dog. I mean, definitely.
Okay.
So they are, you talk about, oh my gosh, they spend all their money on cats that they're not even friendly, for really. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's sad. It's such a sad thing to see so many, you know, and they're the elements that they're living in, the way they're treated, you know, they're not, depending on the neighborhood and stuff, the, you know, kids and people aren't so nice to cats, you know.
Especially during like Halloween.
Yeah, it's the black cat. It really, I don't know what it is. It's almost like the pit bull of the, it's just, they're not good to cats. So, and it's expensive. It's an expensive rescue to run. So we had cats. We had a PetSmart. We had a place at the PetSmart on Charleston and Decatur. But the, you know, you can't get volunteers in there every day. You know, they said, and it has to be. And cats. There's a lot of different diseases that cats have that are right. very expensive to treat. And these are cats that we deal with that come off the street. So they're feral moms or ferals. With kittens, you know.
That's why I like the catch and release programs that we have out here, where you can essentially like borrow one of the cat traps.
Yes.
And they'll yes. you take it back, say like to, you know, to the animal shelter. They'll get the cats fixed, and then they'll re-release them back into the colony, because they have these very intricate structures with the colony. And that way, at the very least, it fixes the overpopulation
yeah.
the problem, which is yeah. very prevalent, which feeds into how many animals are on the streets as it is.
Yes. And if you've got a colony keeper that's keeping an eye on a new cat, you know, so people drop off, dump house cats. I mean, you can't put a house cat with a colony. I mean, right. they don't know how to take care of, they don't know how to look for food and stuff. They don't. They're not like... you know, or kittens, you know, you can't, those little kittens that go back out on the street, they've got to find food, you know? So it's tough. It's a tough situation. So, the most is always cat food, cat food, okay. number one. And then, the basics that an animal needs, so collars and leashes are huge. They're always losing their leashes. I mean, so leashes are a big thing. So when we get into houses, we'll do anything. So we really will. We've built fences. We've tried to get dogs off of their chains, you know, by building a fence, by building a kennel, bringing in, you know, rock. I mean, we will do anything that we can, that we have the money for, to help that person get that dog off the chain, get it out of being isolated in the back. Like in some of our parks, like we've gone in and cleaned the trailers, helped with the, you know, the air conditioning.
You guys do so much.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, it really is. If there's a hint that they're going to give their dog up or their cat up, you know, because of what their situation is, then we are going to figure out how to have them keep it, right? Even if it's paying the power bill, whatever it is, we need you to keep that animal so it doesn't go to the shelter,
right?
You know, because then we got to go get the dog from the shelter. So we need you to keep the dog. So, it's really, there's a lot of, things like that we do too. So Help Us Southern Nevada lets us go to their, they have a warehouse, that you can, but it's certain hours, so it's tough to get down there, but that kind of stuff, like to get the fencing or to get, odd supplies, all kinds of different things.
Okay. Yeah. So besides donations, how else can people support you?
So volunteering, you know, we always need volunteers for our distribution sites where, and it seems like it would be a very simple thing what we do. I mean, it just seems like it's cut and dry, and it is not. So there's all kinds of reasons why we do and don't do certain things, or, you know, you might volunteer for us and you be at our distribution site, and somebody will come up and they'll say, well, I have cats, but, you know, or dogs. I have four dogs, and then they didn't bring them. So, you know, we're saying we can't give them the, you know, and they're like, well, why can't you give them the food? And of course, I'm not in front of them. I'm like, well, because we don't always know. I mean, we got to make sure there's a dog, first of all. And then we got to make sure that the dog is not chained or being abused or pregnant. You know, we need to see the dog. We need to make sure that the donations that we're getting, and that one of the stipulations is the dog has to be fixed, right? So it might take us a while to get that. And unfortunately, sometimes we just can't do anything else. If they're not, and they'll come out and say, well, I'm going to breed them.
Right.
Yeah. And they give us all kinds of reasons why they're going to do it. So then the choice is, we don't help them anymore, right? Then the dog suffers, usually, you know, usually. Like we've got one right now. We took food there and the dogs aren't fixed and he's talking about breeding them. And they're pit bulls, of course, like we need another pit bull, right?
Right.
And he lives in a weekly. And we said, we can't help you anymore then. We're going to give you this, but, you know, it's too heartbreaking, you know, too. You have to fix that dog.
Yeah.
So now it's 2 weeks later and the dog has an ear infection. So that's one thing that we always want to try to take care of, our ear infections, because we know that dog is going out of its mind. You know, emergencies are one thing, but any kind of itching, scratching, you know, so we always try to help with that. And that's usually under like around $100. So that's something we can manage. But now we're like, what should we do? Because, you know,
like stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Exactly. So there's tough, you know, situations there. So some people might see that and think that, oh, we don't care. We're just taking care of everybody. That's not true. I mean, we're at some point trying to just do the right thing for the animal too. Yeah, we know the guy's doing this and we're going to try to catch him maybe through animal control or some other way. We're going to try to, you know, but what do we do? That, I mean, we get a lot of calls with people whose dogs just had puppies. Okay, just had a litter, and they don't have food. Okay, so we ask them, one of our things is, are you willing to give the dog up, right? Well, then most of the time they're not. Okay, so will you temporarily give the dog to, not to us, but to a foster, you know, and their rescue? They'll take the puppies, and they'll fix them, make sure they're, you know, they've got all the shots, and they'll go to a good home, and you'll get your mom back. That's 50-50. You know, we most of the time can get them to do that. And then if not, then what happens? Then they don't have food.
Right.
So then again, we're like, God, what do we do? Because we know that dog needs food. The mom needs food, you know?
Right. But if you start, like, essentially cutting corners on certain people, they're going to start taking advantage of you.
Right.
And you're not going to be able to help
right.
more people and more animals who are willing to meet you at that halfway mark.
So we would love intervention, like, okay. Right there. Like, I wish there was somebody that we could say, okay, you know, without us saying it, because then they won't trust us. So
people who aren't afraid to be essentially up front.
Animal control. I'll just be blunt. But, you know, if we can't, I mean, we can't do that ourselves because the people won't trust us.
Right.
If we're not scanning their animals to see if they're, you know, stolen or lost. We're there to feed the animal that you've got. And if we post it and somebody sees that that's their lost dog, 1,000%, let's go, you know, go get it. But that's not that. I don't even know if that's ever even happened. Maybe once that happened. And it wasn't found that way. But yeah, that's not our focus. It's to get there and take, you know, we're not trying to, you know, take their dog. Because, again, they're not going to call us then. It won't happen.
Oh, I think it's clear to most people that, you know, you guys are trying to do, and you guys are doing something absolutely amazing for this community. That I don't know what these people would be doing if they didn't have you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
I admire and love your dedication to this cause, because I don't think, like we were talking earlier, a lot of people don't even think about these things in the first place. And it took just one little experience that you had that turned into this whole thing.
I'm blown away by it myself, to be honest. I really am.
If you hadn't been given that
bag, I wouldn't have lost my job in 2008 and had to go over the state. I'm no kidding. And then I got welfare of all places. You know, I thought I was going to be at the DMV, and I get welfare. And then for welfare, I get to go to the... It's like
everything happens for a reason.
It did,
you were meant to be this.
Right.
Essentially, you're like a guardian angel to these people.
Yeah. Our whole team. Yes.
Yeah. But they wouldn't be able to do it without you as their leader. So
right. Thank you.
You're fantastic. So where can people get more? I know we touched on where people can donate. Where can people get more information? So like your
website.
Platforms and your websites.
Mm-hmm. So our website, Street Dogs and Dogs with a Z.
Okay.
LV.org.
Okay.
So streetdogswithaZLV.org. Event tab will tell you where we're going to be. And those are static. Those are every single, the first Sunday, second Sunday of every single month. And then Facebook or Instagram has our, any like one-offs that we have. And we almost always have food at any of those anyway. So if somebody needed food, and anybody can can give donate to us too. If they are looking to see, you know, where we're going to be that week, if they have something they want to donate to us, they can donate to us then too. And then we've got PayPal and Facebook. And Facebook has been great. I mean, it really has been. There's no fee. And we get the money with, like, the birthday fundraisers are fantastic. And Smith's, the birthday fundraisers on Facebook, you know, it doesn't cost us anything, the person anything. You know, they want to give to the person for their birthday. And it goes directly to us. And it's every, you know, 2 weeks. Those are great. And we've got a great little helper, a little angel, Anthony Phillips, who, you know, if it doesn't, you know, he'll top off them if they don't always get to their goal. And then Smith's. So Smith's has a program that if you sign up with their loyalty card, and you can pick a charity. So if you don't have a charity, you can pick Street Dogs. If you want to sign up and get the loyalty card, so all you got to do is use it. That's it. You just use the number, and it doesn't interfere with the fuel points or anything else. A percentage of your spending goes to Street Dogs every quarter.
Cool.
And it's a good, it's a really decent chunk.
Does the, what is it? Smile Amazon.
Smile Amazon too.
You're on there as
We're
well.
We're on there. Uh-huh. Okay. I think what happens with them is, you don't never know if you're on the same thing, same percentage, but our Amazon, we have a lot of people too. Amazon Smile, our award, I think this quarter was 120 ish, right? Smith's was 900 and something.
Okay.
So I think the problem with Amazon is you've got to be on that Smile bar.
Yeah, you have to put the smile.amazon in order to go to it, and they don't prompt you.
They don't.
You didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's where we lose, because people are like, well, I said, I it's got to be it. You know, you're not on. That's how they get you. But Smith's, yes.
Okay. Now, you take donations here at the office?
Yes. Here at the clubhouse, we take Darla and Irene are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, like clockwork, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You can call her at 702-308-3079 and to make sure that she's here. We don't like donations left outside, because it's going to probably get taken, and never dogs or cats. we don't take them in, but she's here, or we can make arrangements. I can come after work or on the weekends.
Okay.
There's someone in and out.
All right. So to, I guess, kind of like wrap up everything, what have you learned from your experiences in doing this whole venture that you'd like to touch on?
Well, when you give, you get. That, you know, I never really understood the tithing, to be honest. Like, you know, people tithe, but I found that, I'm not a religious person, but I found that, like, we in the beginning, the first years, we just did not have money. I mean, you know, our advertising was for food. So that's what we got, you know, but we needed to spay and neuter. So we did all these events and, you know, so we would never have more than $200-$300 ever. I mean, we just didn't have the money, but there's something would come up, a dog would have to get pulled out of the shelter or a spay, and it would take all of our money. And then all of a sudden, I mean, out of nowhere, like a check for $500 or, you know, something would show up. So honestly, when you're doing good, you do get rewarded. You know, however it happens, it
comes
does
when
happen.
You need the most.
It really does. And it happens. I mean, this is, like, we're not making any money, or there's no, I mean, all of the money that we get is spent. It's all, I mean, it's all, so
you're
there's
a non-profit.
No, yeah,
that,
there's
that's
no,
the whole definition
exactly.
Of what it is.
There's no, but there's enough money to keep, like, now this clubhouse going, right? So we can keep food for everybody, and we can take care. We can't take care of, I mean, it's not, we're at the point where we can, you know, we get 30 calls a day. So we get 30 calls on this phone alone. That's not email. So we've got, and it's not Facebook. So there's Facebook messaging, Street Cats and Street Dogs. They both have different messaging. Then we've got, you know, 5 emails. You know, there's emails from the website, emails, just emails. So just keeping, and every, all of them are the same. Either it's a medical emergency, it's a boarding emergency, or it's food, or volunteering. People want to volunteer. So, you know, there's not enough of us to answer all of them. That's, so things fall through the cracks. I never understood that either. I always thought, Oh, this seems simple enough. How come like all the founders aren't out, you know, helping, you know, on at the events and stuff? Oh my gosh. Because you can't. You cannot be out there.
It's like not humanly possible.
You can't. No, you cannot. I mean, just emails alone. I could wake up on a Saturday and not get off that phone until, if I started at 7 a.m, I would not get away from that phone. Just the messages. I'm only talking about messages, like, and that's not even following up. I'm not following up on
dogs.
That's
just reading it, basically.
That's just you getting in there, answering, texting a current one back, or answering email. I mean, I have done it all night, up until 9, 10 o'clock. I mean, it's crazy. It's like the whole day is gone completely. So those are the kind of things I didn't realize, and that people are so good. I mean, people are so good.
And
that
dogs are, humanity,
yeah, and dogs are so fantastic. Oh. Oh my gosh. And there's nothing better than, oh, it's gonna make me cry. There's nothing better than, you know, some of the dogs that we had. We've got some pictures around here. But when you save them, and, you know, when they're in the worst condition and shape and they don't trust, and you get them, and oh my gosh. Like our Sadie or Ivy. We've got a lot of dogs. I can't just name one, but yeah, there is nothing better than seeing those dogs.
Yeah, you're saving lives and changing lives.
And cats.
It's beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
Do you have any last comments for...
I want to tell you, I appreciate it. And I love you. This is the best. This is the best. I mean, most the questions, I love this. It's beautiful. It's usually just about delivering. They just want to, you know, people just want to know about delivering and the
like
very
basic surface level.
Yeah. I mean, questions. You've got more questions. You could have just, this could have gone on for another really good. I'm really excited to see your one for next week too.
I actually have three that I'm doing next week. I'm doing just a regular discussion podcast with a friend because next week is American Education Week and she's a special ed teacher. And then I'm doing the interview with Public Services and then I'm doing an interview with this group called Viva La Compost. It's a local business that does a composting pickup service. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I can go on forever about her. I'm partnered with the woman who owns the business. Her name is Veronica. She's amazing. I love working with her and doing stuff with her. So I will definitely send you all that.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. Thank you so much for sitting down with me. This has been an amazing conversation.
Thank you.
I've learned a lot. You know,
I hope I didn't just spew it out and
sense. You're fantastic.
So tell me to calm down or stop, you know, you're going off.
You're
good.
Totally good.
Thank you
for what you do.
Thank you. You're
absolutely amazing. I can't stress that enough. So again.
And my team.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, team.
Your
street
entire
team.
Group.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you guys for listening and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Hey everyone. We hope you enjoyed our conversation with Cheryl from Street Dogs about her amazing organization and what she does for the homeless and their pets out here in Las Vegas. If you want to get in motion with Cheryl and her team by making a donation or volunteering with them, please check out their platforms linked in the description below. If you enjoyed this discussion, please like this video and subscribe to our channel to get notifications. And please check us out and follow us on our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see the other kinds of content we post and the events that we're doing. And don't forget to check out our website, Millennials in Motion Magazine, which is at mimmag.com. Like what we do at MimMag and want to support our growth, please check out our Patreon community and see what benefits we offer our patrons who are helping us on our journey. Thank you again so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Kat from Millennials in Motion Magazine. This has been Conversations with the Community, and don't forget to be kind and be the change you want to see in the world.